Now, climate change is a big concern for people around the world. According to a November Pew Research survey, a majority of Americans say the government isn't doing enough to address climate change or safeguard the environment. There are some standard plans to address climate change, such as cutting carbon emissions and regulating polluters, but those plans can take time, and some activists say we're moving too slowly to have a significant impact. But there are people around the world who are looking at novel methods to take on climate change. One potential solution being investigated is geoengineering. Our next guest says geoengineering could help not only slow climate change, but it could even reverse the crisis. Thomas Costigan is a journalist and author. His latest book is called Hacking Planet Earth, How Geoengineering Can Help Us Reimagine the Future. Thomas, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Glad to be
here.
Well,
geoengineering, as I learned in your book, covers a lot of ground. Can you give us a basic definition that we can work with here?
Sure. It's really defined as the deliberate manipulation of the environment to thwart or mitigate or even counteract the effects of global warming. So definitely intervening in Mother Nature's natural process through artificial means.
And as I mentioned, a lot of people think, hey, wait, we already have a solution. It's cut emissions, cut climate pollution. That's going to fix the problem. You write that's not happening fast enough. Why not?
Because it hasn't. You know, we've been having this discussion, and I've been in this space for, 20 years, and we've been having the same mitigation discussion. By mitigation, I mean preventative measures, much along the lines of what you're talking about, which is turn down the thermostat, stop our cars from idling, turn off the lights when we leave a room. Don't get me wrong, all great measures, but they haven't worked fast enough. We're still seeing an increase in global carbon emissions, and we need fixes. Much like the public health crisis, when we are told to wash our hands and do social distancing, great preventative measures, but now we need cures, we need treatments. And the planet is at a state now where it needs cures, it needs treatments, it needs its own sort of vaccines. And I believe a lot of the technologies that geoengineering provides can accommodate that.
As I said, geoengineering covers a lot of ground. On some of the most basic levels, things like carbon capture methods, which can be as simple as planting more trees, can be part of the solution. Where do you see carbon capture fitting in?
Yeah, well, just to come back to your original question, geoengineering can be solar engineering, which is better reflecting the sun, or carbon engineering, which is what you just discussed now. And there's a couple of other forms we can get into. But carbon engineering, that planting more trees is great, but that, again, takes, a long time for those trees to mature, for those trees in order to capture carbon and sequester enough of carbon in the atmosphere to make a difference. You would need, by some estimates, to plant a forest the size of India to make a big difference at mass scale for the planet to reduce any carbon emissions. When you have things like artificial trees and carbon capturing devices that can exponentially capture carbon out of the atmosphere, now we have a different game changer. And there are some technologies out there that can have, one device capture as much carbon as a tree at 1,000 times the rate. So you have a lot of technologies out there that I believe can step in there and help Mother Nature do her job.
You also mentioned solar engineering. What does that look like?
Yes, and this one may be the most controversial because that involves a few different – there's a few different types of all these technologies, of course. Solar engineering involves a few different steps. The most radical, far out there, let's put it out there on the spectrum, is a space parasol for the planet where they would launch – scientists would launch nano-reflective materials into outer space to reflect the sun and thereby divert its energy before it even reaches Earth. The next one is stratospheric aerosol injection, which gets into some of the more controversial things here, whereas it's injecting different types of materials that they're testing up in the stratosphere. It's about 12 miles up. And that would, again, reflect from the tops of clouds the sun's energy and thereby cooling things below, like us, in surface temperatures. And then there's marine cloud brightening, which uses sea spray. So having ships that would traverse the oceans, some, you know, contemplated on autopilot, that would spray ocean water up into the atmosphere. Marine clouds sit a little bit lower in the sky than traditional clouds, and they would capture that spray. Those are reflective materials, and that again would cool the oceans below. And then there's one other form that I like to talk is about more of an analog version of all that, and that is cool roofs and cool roads, simply lightening the dark surfaces on what we call urban heat islands, alleys, blacktops, roads, those types of things, just making them lighter or using different types of materials, again, to reflect the sun's rays from capturing in all that heat.
Talking to Thomas Costigan about his new book, Hacking Planet Earth, How Geoengineering Can Help Us Reimagine the Future. Thomas, a concern people might have with some of these ideas, especially I think with some of the solar engineering ones, is weather and climate are complicated systems. Isn't there a risk of unintended side effects that could create maybe new and different problems than climate change?
Absolutely. Great question. You know, I had originally titled the book Frankenplanet. To address those types of questions, because, you know, when you look at things like, you know, genetically modifying things, you know, things that step into the unknown of consequences, you do have a lot of those concerns. But I really want to emphasize that the book gets into things that are backed by rigorous science, and no one's out there recklessly doing so. And if they are, they shouldn't be. And even in the book, I mentioned some of those techniques and I put caveats in there that, you know, we really need to have an oversight type of committee that looks at these. But some of the consequences could affect teleconnections. You know, when you look at an El Nino, a La Nina event, those create pass-along events, as many of us know, throughout the world. So when you have warmer ocean water, for example, off the coast of South America, which is where, you know, El Nino came from, the term, that has a pass-along consequence all the way up through North America, over to Europe and all around the globe, that, you know, could create dry circumstances in some places or wet circumstances in other places. And the same thing might hold by artificially interfering with the climate that way. And there are circumstances where they've tested that out in computer model version. And again, if we just look at the technologies that we have today, all of this, or pretty much all of this, is happening in laboratories and in the virtual world, where we can use artificial intelligence and algorithms to play out in seconds many, many variants of these types of technologies being put into practice and what those ramifications might be. And with the technologies and the computer simulations that are available today, you have a really interesting possibility to model these technologies out to see what those consequences could be. And most recently, there was an academic paper out late last month about stratospheric aerosol injection, that if you did it at mass scale to really, really affect the planet, there would be consequences. It could result in everything from the Amazon catching fire to, you know, mass floods in other places. But if you did it at an incremental level, the risk would be far, far mitigated on any of these things having such a destructive force to them, but would still have an effect on climate change. So if you look at them singularly, yeah, it's difficult to be able to change the climate with just one of these technologies. But, you know, having a bunch of Plan B weapons at our disposal as climate starts to roll in with some of its more dire consequences, I think is just prudent.
Thomas, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That's Thomas Costigan, a journalist and author. We've been talking about his latest book. It's called Hacking Planet Earth, How Geoengineering Can Help Us Reimagine the Future. He joins us to talk about these ideas of geoengineering, from things that capture carbon in various different ways to things that might block the amount or reflect out the amount of energy coming in via sunlight to the Earth as a part of an effort to address and potentially reverse climate change. Love to hear from you about this topic. You can email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. What do you think? Sound like science fiction for better or worse? Do you think these are ideas that governments, businesses, entrepreneurs, inventors should be pursuing? What kind of oversight would we need if we were to tackle one of these paths? Again, email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.